To tell you the truth, went home and tried to rest some this evening. I feel more tired this evening than I did this morning. I believe it's just now hitting me. But I'm glad to be here. I'd rather be here than where I was this time last night. And I thank God for getting us back home safely on that trip. Some of you that wasn't here this morning had an all-night trip in the middle of New York last night and wound up in New York City at the airport at 4 o'clock this morning and having to sit around in there for an hour or so, and it didn't open until 15 after 5, and it was cold as ice and outside. Boy, it was awful. But thank the Lord, we're here safe and sound. Amen. John chapter 1. I want to read one verse of Scripture and bring you the message that I believe would be a blessing to you. A little, I guess you might say, basic, elementary Bible study lesson message on this subject we're going to deal tonight. The subject I'm going to deal with tonight, it goes very deep-rooted in the Word of God. And there's a lot of pros and cons both ways on a lot of these issues. But I'm going to hit the good and the high spots on it tonight and just bring you a Christian rejoicing message on John chapter 1 and verse 17. John chapter 1, verse 17. Great verse of Scripture. For the law given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. I want to preach to you tonight on the subject, law and grace. Down just a hair, fellas, just a hair. Bible said in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now the new modern versions don't have that word dividing in it, which messes up a Christian's Bible study. There, according to the Bible, there are divisions in the Word of God. And we're to study it. You know what you do when you study something? I've seen people just standing there looking at something, looking up one side and down the other. They'd say, what are you doing? So I'm just studying that tree or that animal or that car or that whatever. We're supposed to study the Bible. There's a difference between studying and reading. I believe you're supposed to read the Bible, and I believe you're supposed to study the Bible. I believe that you're missing something if all you do is just read the Bible. I believe you're missing something if all you do is just study the Bible. We're supposed to read it constantly. We're going to find out here in a few weeks how many's read it all the way through this year. Many of you have and are finishing up real soon. And that's good. But according to the Word of God, we ought to also study the Word of God. Now, there are many divisions in the Bible, and you've got to get these divisions right. If you don't, you will make a mess. Man said one time, you hear this in a lot of churches, it's no wonder people's in the mess they're in spiritually. You just turn on your radio and listen to some of the preaching that's on the radio. It's not very hard to figure out why they're in a mess. You hear churches all the time, and they'll say, God said every word in that book right to me. Now that sounds good, it sounds spiritual, but it's not true. God never said every word in the Bible to me. He never said every word in the Bible to you. God said every word in the Bible for me. God said every word in the Bible for you, but all of it's not to you. There's some divisions in the Word of God. There's some people in the Bible that God told that they could not eat certain kinds of meat. That's plain as day. He told them. In the Old Testament Jew was told he could not eat anything like oysters, shrimp, scallop, catfish, things like that didn't have fins. They was told they could not eat pork, things like that. In the New Testament, God told the Christian, every creature of God is good, nothing to be refused, if it receiveth thanksgiving. He showed Peter there when they let down the sheet there, and he said, what God hath cleansed, don't you call common. So everything in the Bible is not directly to us doctrinally, but we're to study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. There are divisions in the Word of God that go like this. basically. If a man says he's not a dispensationalist, he's not telling the truth. Everybody ever knows a dispensationalist, they just some more than others. If you believe there's an Old Testament and a New Testament, you are a dispensationalist. There's one in the Old and one in the New. Now, there's divisions in the Word of God. For example, there was a time back there from Adam to Moses. That was the way God dealt with people a certain way. Then there was a time from Moses under the time of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was a division. Let's say that's one color. Let's say that's another color on a chart. Then there was the Lord Jesus come and died on the cross. And that 2,000 year period that you and I are in right now, called the age of grace or church age, that's another period. Say that's another color on the chart. Then there's the rapture. There's 7 years of tribulation. 3.5 great tribulation. That's another color on the chart. Then there's 1,000 years millennial reign. That's another color on the chart. Then there's eternity. That's another color in the chart. Now look, you think you keep all those colors in your mind. Now watch. That's before the law, during the law, after the law, age of grace, during the church age, then the tribulation period, then the millennium, then eternity. You got those divisions? The Bible said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Mine and your job is to study the Bible. Now, when we come up on a verse, we say, God told those Jews, don't eat certain kinds of meat, don't eat that. Where do we put that one? Do we put that here in the church age? No. Do we put that here? No. That goes over here. Okay, we got that verse in its proper heading. Every creature of God is good, nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. Where do we put that one? No, not over here. We put it right here. That's 1 Timothy. You know where that's at in your Bible. Study to show thyself approved. I found out many years ago, when it was one of the great blessings I ever had in my life, when I found this out, that the Bible is like a great big bucket of marbles, let's say. And God handled them like this big bucket of apples here. And say they're all different colors of marbles. There's blue ones, red ones, there's yellow ones, there's maybe white ones and black ones, and different colors of marble. Now God says, study to show thyself approved unto God, rightly divided. So I reach in there, I pull out a marble. That's a blue marble. Blue marbles go here, church age. I read another verse. Well, that's a red marble. Red marbles go here. Now I go through the whole Bible like that. And I got every verse where it's supposed to be, and the Bible don't contradict itself. Now when you hear people say the Bible has contradictions in it, what they mean is they don't have it divided. They think it's all one long story to everybody at the same time. And if you believe it, it does have contradiction. But if you divide it, it don't have contradictions. Every verse fits right where it's supposed to be without one hitch. It's all one big unit. And brother, you're not discriminating against it at all. When I pull out a blue marble, I'm not saying it's any more a part of the bucket of marbles than a red marble just because I put it over here. When I pull out a verse of scripture and say God said that to an Old Testament Jew, that don't mean I'm saying, I don't count that as the Word of God. I do count it as the Word of God. I just put it in its proper doctrinal heading under it. So when you study the Word of God, you need to know two or three things. Number one, you need to know who's doing the talking. Number two, you need to know who they're talking to. Number three, you need to know in what dispensational and doctrinal heading you're in, and you won't have very much trouble getting your Bible straight and getting it right. So tonight we're going to take the subject of law and grace, and all I'm going to do is draw you a little simple parallel, and I believe it'd be a blessing to the child of God. I don't know about you tonight, but I'm thankful and I'm excited that you and I live in the age of what we call grace. thank God for grace. Amen. Thank God for amazing grace of God. First of all, we're going to look at the law basically, and then I'm going to divide them up and compare them. The Bible tells us of what we call Mosaic law given to Moses by God on the Mount Sinai, and the law of Moses is threefold. Number one, it's divided in three parts. Number one, we have the moral law. Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 to 17. That's what we call the Ten Commandments. Part two is the civil law. That's Exodus chapter 21, verse 1 to 24, verse 18. Now, the difference between the moral law and the civil law is that moral law was blanket commandments for everybody. That civil law was how to do with each other. And what happened if your cow got in somebody's pasture? You know, just everyday dealings with each other. Then the third part of the law was what we call ceremonial. Now, the ceremonial law was all the cups and ordinances and things like that. That's in Exodus 25, 1 to Exodus 40 and verse 38. That's the three divisions of the law. And brother, that ceremonial law is what Jesus nailed to his cross when he died on Calvary. That's why we don't sacrifice lambs, and that's why we don't go to the tabernacle anymore, eat the showbread, and wash our hands in the laver, and go into the high priest. Brother, that's Jesus took them out of the way, nailing them to his cross. Notice the Lord did not take the Ten Commandments away. See? It's still wrong to kill. It's still wrong to commit adultery. It's still wrong to lie. The Ten Commandments. The ceremonial law was nailed to the cross when Jesus died on Calvary. That's where Seventh-day Adventists mess up. They cannot get that through their head. They put it all in one lump and say, well, we're still under Old Testament. And that's why they go to church on Saturday. They think we are Old Testament Jews under the law. Now, to tell you the truth, the Old Testament Sabbath starts on Friday evening at 6 o'clock and ends on Saturday evening at 6 o'clock. And if you really went by the Old Testament Jewish Sabbath, you'd have to go about 8 hours different because of the time difference between here and Jerusalem, and observe it on your clock and do it at the exact same time that they do over there. Now, I don't know any Seventh-day disadvantages that do that at all. It's too cold in here. Let me tell you something. I ought to be sweating by now, and I ain't sweating. And you turned it down too far, J.D. Turn on about 71. Okay? Now listen. Listen. The purpose of the law tonight was not given to the Gentiles, but was given to Israel. Now I'm going to give you a bunch of scriptures. You better write these down, because we'd be here all night if you looked at them all. In Romans chapter 9, verse 4, Romans chapter 2 and verse 14 tells us the law was given to Israel. God never gave the law to the Gentile. God gave the law to Israel in the Old Testament. Now, a Gentile could get in on it if he wanted to sojourn with them. Any Gentile that wanted to could have said, hey, I want to become a Jew. Did you ever read about them people over there that became Jews? They sure did. Even though they wasn't born one, they became one. When they followed the ceremonial law, the civil law, and the moral law. The purpose of the law was given in the Word of God. I've heard people all my life, and you have too, say God gave us the law to show us how to get to heaven. And so it's one old song, but I like it, but it ain't a bit lick of truth in it. It said, I'm using my Bible for a roadmap. The Ten Commandments are my guide. The 12 disciples are my road sign. And Jesus, you know, that's a pretty song, and I enjoy it. It's real nice, but it ain't true. The Ten Commandments are not your guide to heaven. The Ten Commandments don't get you to heaven by keeping the Ten Commandments. The law, listen to me, the law, this is one of the most important things I'll say, was not given to justify you. The law was given to show you how much you need to be justified and how you need a Savior. It wasn't given to save you. It was given to convict you and show you you need to be saved by the grace of God. I'm telling you, brother, I've heard people say they didn't believe the Ten Commandments and they didn't believe this and that. And the truth is, I've heard people say, well, I've kept the Ten Commandments. The only person that's ever kept all Ten Commandments whole life was Jesus Christ and nobody else ever. You say, well, I've never broke the Ten Commandments. You're a liar. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. There's never been a time in your life when something wasn't ahead of God in your life. Don't kid me, brother. Everybody in here's had something ahead of God one time or another in your life. If you're guilty of one point, you're guilty of it all. You say, well, I'll tell you one thing, I've done this and I've never done that, but you've done some other things, ain't you? Amen. That one of them commandments said, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house or thy neighbor's yard, or in our language, his car or his income, his family, his children, his wife, his clothes, anything. You mean to tell me you can sit here tonight and tell me you've never just sat and looked at somebody and said, boy, they got it made. Hey, I'd like to have what they've got. I don't believe the Bible said, listen, brother, the Bible says covetousness is idolatry. We're guilty. The law was given us to show us that we need to be saved. But let's look at grace just a second. What is grace? Well, if a man works for something and gets paid for it, that's wages. If a man gives something in exchange and gets a reward, or that gets something, that's a reward. But if a man can do nothing and be nothing and earn nothing and can't pay for it and gets it anyway, that's grace. It's the undeserved, unrecompensed favor of God. Where does grace come from? Grace comes from God's love. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. The channel of grace is Jesus Christ. The verse said that grace and truth came by Jesus. The instrument of grace is faith. Ephesians 2:8 said, for putting our faith in a person, by grace are you saved through faith. The way you get grace to work in your life is put your faith in Jesus Christ, and God's grace justifies you. Thank God for grace. Faith in a person, not faith in yourself, not faith in a religious system, but faith in a person. I tell you what, you know why we like to come together on Sunday nights? Because we're here to worship and honor a person. He's talking about being saved Catholic a while ago. That's about all they are up in New York. And the man that drove the limousine was in New York this morning. I said, are you a Christian? He said, I'm Catholic. I said, are you a saved Catholic or a lost Catholic? He said, I'm a saved Catholic. I said, good. He's about cussing before we finally got to the airport. I don't know if he backslid or what. And before we got through, I started talking to him. I said, you know, we're going to die one of these days, friend. And you better make sure that Jesus in your heart. He said, well, everybody's got their own beliefs and blah, 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 blah. You know, I talked to a girl at the motel. I said, ma'am, you bet don't forget now, tomorrow's Sunday, be sure and go to church. She said, I can't. I said, why not? She said, I have to work till 3:00. And I said, well, go tomorrow night. She said, there ain't no church around here that has service at night. And I didn't say it, but you know, I thought, I don't blame them. If I didn't have no more than they had, I wouldn't bother to come back Sunday night neither. She said, we have services at 8, 10, 11. I said, where are you now? She said, St. Mary's. That means she has a mess at 10, a mess at 10, 11, and a mess at 8. And I want to tell you what, brother, that listen, you're not grace, we're saved by grace through faith in a person, not in a religious system. Hey, you correct me if I'm wrong, brother. Isn't it true that the Catholic Church teaches that when the priest puts the blessing on the mess, and you take a piece of that cookie and that you're putting it in your mouth, that you are receiving Jesus Christ? Ain't that right? He goes down your throat. And in your stomach. And in your intestines. That's blasphemy. That's not Bible. You receive, that's why you say, have you ever received the Lord as your Savior? And they'll say, yeah. But you mean one thing, they mean another thing. They receive the Lord every Sunday morning, swallow Him every day. I remember reading about Father Chiniki, that Catholic priest, and they carried around the holy wafer, and that was the Lord, honest to goodness. That's what they believe. They believe that's His body, and they carry Him around with Him. And he was going to administer the Lord one time to a dying soul to get him into heaven or keep him in purgatory for a little while or something. And he took him over there, and he lost. The Lord fell out in the snow, and he lost him somewhere and couldn't find him. That's right, brother. And then one time he's at the altar and the Lord fell out and rapped, come out from underneath the altar and ate the Lord. You say that's disrespectful. That's what they believe. They believe, hey brother, that'd be some holy rat, wouldn't it? I mean, if he received the Lord Jesus Christ, let me tell you, brother, you don't receive Jesus Christ down your throat. You receive Jesus Christ in your by faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I stand before you, a hell deserving sinner, and ought to be burning in hell and died. But by grace, I can stand here and preach the Word of God and know I'm going to heaven because of that grace. Thank God for it. Now I'll tell you what let's do tonight. Let's contrast them. Now if you know your Bibles, you're going to enjoy some of these contrasts. I really did. Studying them. If you know your Bible, if you don't, you won't get much out of it. And let's first of all say this. Law and grace. Now remember, law's over here, grace is over here. The first contrast is blood and wine. Now the first miracle that Moses done over there when he come after he started on those plagues, after he thought he's up down, came a serpent, all of that, when he really went back to perform his miracle, when the law came by Moses, his first open public miracle there on the plagues of Pharaoh was turning water to blood. That type of death. In Exodus 7:19 and verse 21, Jesus' first miracle was at the wedding of Cana in Galilee and turned water to wine, a type of the Holy Spirit and a type of life. So you see, as Moses began there turning water into blood, the Lord began here turning water into wine. Says an old man said one time, said he's talking about that, and they said, well, the Lord made wine. And the preacher told him, he made it out of nothing but pure water. You don't use nothing but water. You can make all the wine you want and drink it. Don't use nothing but water now. I remember hearing about that one old colored preacher. He had been a little backslid, riding down the road one night, and he's weaving all over the highway, and a cop stopped him, and he's on. He said, Reverend, what's the matter with you? He said, nothing, sir. I was all right. He said, what's that bottle between your legs? He pulled it out there and handed it to him, and the cop smelled that and said, phew. He said, it's water, sir. He said, water? Smell that. And boy, he gave a whiff of that, and that preacher smelled it and said, praise God, he done it again. That ain't the way. You can make all you want like that. You can make all, if you make it out of pure water, help yourself. But brother, that's what the Lord did. That typified life. That typified spirit. John 2:7-11. But let's think about darkness and light. The law produced a thick darkness over the land. When the law was given there in Exodus chapter 12, before it came, there was a thick darkness over the land. Grace gives light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world in John 9:5. Death and life. The last scene in Egypt was death. Exodus 12:29-30. The end of the law is death. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. But did you know one of the last miracles that Jesus performed right before he went to the cross was the raising of Lazarus from the dead, and it was given life. The law brought death, but Jesus said, I am come that you might have life. Listen to this. The first time the law was proclaimed over there in Exodus 32, 26 and 28, 3,000 people were slain. Do you hear that? It said about 3,000. God killed them the first time Moses proclaimed that law. But the first time grace was proclaimed on the day of Pentecost, the same word said about 3,000 got saved. About 3,000 died. First time that law was preached, and about 3,000 saved. The first time grace was preached. Then let's look at seek and save. The law says, seek ye the Lord. Grace says, God is seeking man. In the Old Testament, we were told to seek God. In the New Testament, He said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. In the Old Testament, the sheep seek the shepherd. But thank God, in the New Testament, the shepherd, thank God, seeks the sheep. Hallelujah. But let's look at who and live and live and do. The law says, do and thou shalt live. Leviticus 18:5. Grace says, it is finished. You don't do anything but accept it. We're not striving to make heaven our home. Brother, we already have a paid ticket, paid in advance, reservations made on the other side that can't be canceled, and we're on our way. Servants and sons, the Lord said to Moses, put off thy shoes. Exodus 3 and verse 3 and 5, because he was a servant. Hebrews 3 said Moses was a servant. When God began to give him the law, he appeared to him on the bush. God said, take your shoes off. Take your shoes off. You're around me. You got to get them shoes off. You're on holy ground. You know what grace said in Luke 15:22? When the prodigal come home, said, put the shoes on. Amen. They put the shoes back on him because he was a son. Thou said, keep off holy ground. Grace said, embrace him and bring him in. The law said, bow the knee. But grace said, kiss him. The law said, punish him. Grace said, forgive him. The law said, strip him. But grace said, bring forth the best robe and put it on him and give him something, thank God, that he don't deserve. Grace said, that's an Old Testament prodigal son was killed. He is stoned to death. But a New Testament prodigal son was forgiven and embraced and took home, and they threw a big party for him. Oh, I thank God for the grace of God. Under the law, the sheep had to die for the shepherd. Thank God, under grace, the shepherd died for the sheep. In John 10:14 and 15, stripped and clothed, we are by nature like the man in the parable there that was stripped by the thieves. Then in Luke chapter number 10, and left to die, the law, pictured by the Levite, passes by and offers no help. But grace, pictured by the good Samaritan, comes by and sees him, pours in oil and wine, and binds up his wound, and takes him and gives him 2 pence. That's for this 2,000 years. And said, when I come back, I'll take care of anything else he owes. That's the difference between grace and law. We got it made nowadays, but the law demands holiness. Grace gives holiness. The law says, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all these things. Grace said, blessed is the man whose iniquities are forgiven. Well, I tell you what, thank God, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute iniquity. Buddy, back in the Old Testament, son, when you done wrong, they found it, they brought you and knocked your brains out with rocks. You know what? Me and you's under the grace of God, and God looks down and said, I find no fault in this man because of what Jesus Christ done for us. The law says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. But grace said, herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sin. The law speaks of priestly sacrifices offered year by year, which could never make the comers thereunto perfect. But grace said, this man, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, and sat down on the right hand of God. Every year, them old priests come. Every day, those sacrifices were made. Every year, they'd go into the Holy of Holies. They would say, this is for the sins of Levi. This is for the sins of Simeon. This is for the sin of all the other tribes, and they name them all, and Judah and all the rest of them. But boy, when Jesus came to this earth, he died and he said, it's finished. And brother, we ain't had to kill a lamb since. We ain't had to kill a goat since. We can just come in and experience the grace of God. The law says, as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. But grace says, therefore there is now no condemnation for them which are in Christ Jesus. They have passed from death unto life. Somebody said one time, that's a dangerous doctrine, the doctrine of grace. A young Christian had been taught to be saved by faith and live by grace, and been just kept by the law. See, there's a lot of religions that teach that when you come to God and ask Him to save you, that He saves you by grace, then you have to keep the law as best you can in order to stay a Christian. And by grace and kept by works. And I was arguing about that one time, and a man told this young Christian, he said, don't you think dangerous doctrine? Telling people that you're saved by grace and you're kept by grace? He said, if you thought that, you'd just go out and do anything you wanted to do. That's not too good to be true. And the man said, well, I believe it, and I'm not out here doing all them things. And the truth is, if you really believe that, you ain't going to be out running around doing all kinds of ways. It'll get a hold of your heart so much, man, you'll do more for God believing that than you would be having to believe you have to keep yourself to be saved. Amen? Because you serve Him out of love. You serve Him out of gratitude. You say, my soul, look what He's done for me. The least I can do is pray. The least I can do is fast. Let me tell you something tonight. If you're depending on the life that you live to get you to heaven, you'll never be able to enjoy what we have here in our church. You know why? Because you don't never know if you've done enough. There's millions of people in that shape. They think, I'm trying the best I can. I'm striving to make heaven my home. I'm pressing forward, try to make it through the pearly gates. You'll never be able to rejoice like that. We're not trying to get to heaven. We're going to heaven. Serve Him because He loved us. We love Him because He's loved us. I believe we ought to serve God because we love Him. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You'll do more for God if you love Him than you will if you're afraid, well, He'll do this and He'll do that if I don't do this and I don't do that. But if you fall in love with God, you'll stay busy for God and enjoy it. Amen. Amen. That's the difference. I tell you, you know what them little girls sung a while ago? The joy of the Lord is our strength. Yeah. You show me a bunch of people that lived in constant fear that they're going to go to hell, I'll show you people don't have no strength. They're weak. But boy, you think, praise God, we got joy. Hallelujah. Man, the devil trembles. The purpose of grace in ages to come is to show the exceeding riches of His grace toward us.
Amen.
I don't know what God's going to do with us. But one day, according to the Word of God, He's going to put up trophies of grace all over heaven. They're going to shine like stars. And there's everybody that's been saved by grace. You see, If we had a part in our salvation, we'd get up there and we'd say, "Buddy, I worked hard to get here. I hung on, held out, went through many dangers, toils, and snares, and I have made it." But that ain't the way it's going to be. We're going to walk in there and we're going to say, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." Because that law condemned us. For the law was given by Moses. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Let's stand with our heads bowed. Now, what I've done tonight is just give you a little brief, basic comparison between law and grace. Maybe you're here tonight and you're just shackled up. God's speaking to your heart tonight. We just want to sing. Let's sing Amazing Grace, Brother Dale. Kind of just rejoice a little bit.